This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You have reached the edge of the world. Today on Dreamland, we have an amazing guest. Max Rempel is with us, and we're going to be talking about telepathy and hybridization in an entirely new way. You can find out more about Max's work at his website, xgrxg1.org. That's it, xg1.org. Max is making it very clear. Can you tell us a little of your own background, Max? Because I think that you will find that Max's understanding of this is perhaps the deepest in the world. I've never come across anyone who had such a deep understanding of this subject.
Thank you very much. I did a few interviews so far, and we stayed so long on my background, we never got to, we had very little time to get to the actual subject. So I will try to shorten it. So I have two parallel or three parallel tracks. One is mainstream and one is alternative science. And mainstream, I worked 30 years in mainstream. I don't think it's my achievement. It's more like I was just pushed by my spirit guides and whoever controls my destiny to the labs. And I was a middle author in very authoritative papers. One of them is the discovery of schizophrenia gene. I did a lot of genotyping there. I had a robot and helped technicians to do that. And another one was on longevity, and another one on gene regulation, like looking very close up at gene promoters, at pieces of DNA in there. So my main focus in mainstream is DNA structure, gene regulation, and the work of the genome. And I worked in, so I'm a Jew from Moscow, graduated from Moscow State University, the chemical department, main university, did DNA synthesis there for thesis. Worked in the Institute of Molecular Biology, the main molecular biology institution, second molecular biology institution in Russia, and I did genetic engineering there in 86 to 89, Moscow Institute of Gene Biology, developed DNA extractor, DNA sequencer there, 89 to 94, moved to America in 90, got PhD in 94 in DNA extraction and sequencing. Moved to America in 96, did my schizophrenia work in Virginia Commonwealth University, worked in National Cancer Institute. And by the way, I was a couple times I was in that facility in Fort Frederick working with mice. Nothing secret, just boring mouse work. And then did Rochester, University of Rochester, and worked in a few industry companies. So that's about my mainstream. So 30 years of that, and my publication rank, I'm in the 90th percentile. Basically, I'm within 10% of best published scientists, but not within 5%, somewhere around 10%. So mediocre high level.
So my mediocre high level, that's a funny phrase.
I mean, nobody knows me, like, really. My bosses, they know my bosses. Yeah, my bosses are pretty well known. I was just middle author in the paper. Nothing of my own in mainstream science. I don't think so.
Well, let me ask you this. Your background being Russian and your education there, do you think Russia is, are there any institutes or individuals in Russia who are pursuing serious inquiries into things like telepathy?
Let me see. Yes. Traditionally, Russian science was pretty well invested in paranormal research and telepathy. And I know the names of Pavlov and Durov are, if you just Google names, Pavlov and Durov, they are respected in the West, and they established modern animal experimentation. And on a side note, Pavlov certainly experimented with telepathy in dogs, between human and dog. So that was known in 20s and 30s. They did experiments for sure. More recently, I think they continue to do a lot of extrasensory perception research, but this is all hidden, so I don't know the names of institution. There is a lot of leaks in Russia. The leaks are plenty. It's much more than here. In America, it's all much more structured. In Russia, because of the political upheavals or just plain mess in Russia, there is a leakage of information. So there is a lot of extra sensory perception works. Yes, I don't know the name though, but there is a lot of speakers on YouTube who speak about that, and the culture is to respect that direction of research.
And Max has, by the way, folks, a remarkable 20-minute video on YouTube that we will be linking to on the show. And it's really, really worth watching. We're going to be working this interview pretty much off of the video, which is f more informative about telepathy than really anything I've ever seen. The reason being that it has a lot of practical ideas about why it works. And this is so important to the Western mind, to our minds, even though we say, well, maybe I'm not in the scientific mainstream, we remain passive until we have some kind of a rationale about things. And we need to get telepathy working as a species, or we're not going to make it here. This
Yes,
is
absolutely.
absolutely. And so let's start with DNA and why DNA would be the perfect mediator between the quantum world and the classical world. Because, wait, just let me finish. Because, folks, this point of mediation between the quantum and classical worlds is of absolutely critical importance. We must be able to Must learn how to enable our consciousness to engage in the quantum level in order to do this. So can you tell us this, answer this question first, why DNA has to be at the core of this?
Right. So the DNA is a chemical substance. It's a polymer. Our chromosomes in every cell are made of DNA. And our body contains 250 grams of DNA. It's a substantial amount. And you can buy it, actually. You can buy human DNA isolated from disposed placenta. And it's pretty inexpensive. So, and it's fluffy, so it will take the whole bucket of that DNA from a human body. So it's a very strong substance. You could make a fabric out of that. The only problem is that it dissolves in water, so it would dissolve in your sweat. But it's pretty strong polymer. You cannot break it. Anyway, so the size of DNA is the chromosome is an average chromosome is 20 centimeters, that size alone. It's like one strand, and the thickness is 2 nanometers, and it's very tiny. Basically, it's about 10 15 atoms wide, 10 15 atoms wide. So on that level, the quantum mechanical world is fully present. Quantum mechanical laws, quantum physics, which are quantum entanglement, wave particle duality, an uncertainty principle, meaning you can't really localize where the atom is. It's probability field, interference, all the wave properties of the waves, like interference and refraction, and bilocation. So the DNA on the level of single DNA letters called nucleotides A, G, C, T is a wave, a field, and it is a subject of quantum laws. But on the length of the size of the chromosome, it becomes already a macro object. So that's a perfect door, perfect gateway, the portal between the macro world of us and the micro world of quantum laws. So that's the main premise of claiming that DNA is the key to all psychic abilities and telepathy and all, yeah, all quantum and all strangeness in the macro world. Should I continue?
We're going to take a brief break here.
Sure.
We'll be right back with Max in just a moment.
The Fourth Mind, Whitley Strieber's explosive new book. The first time alien anatomy, alien genetics, the alien brain, and the alien mind have ever been detailed publicly. Learn how they think, learn what they believe, learn what we mean to them. Learn when they are coming and why. Then, in part two, learn why we don't have powers like telepathy, levitation, and healing that they do have. Find out about the catastrophe that took our powers from us. Find out how we can regain them. The Fourth Mind, totally new, incredibly important. Get your copy today on Amazon. Available as a Kindle, hardcover, softcover, and an audiobook read by Whitley Strieber.
We're talking to Max Rempel. Max is an expert on the significance of DNA in telepathy, and we're going to be talking later about hybridization. Max's very well-developed ideas about why humanity is a hybridized species. Max, one of the things about what we're talking about is that water is a very important part of it. The DNA is floated in basically in water. Is that correct?
Yes. So initially my alternative research started 99, now it's 26 years. I visited Russia for after a big break, and I was given a book by a distant friend. I never spoke to her before or after, but she gave me the book, which was called The Wave Genome, which is the same thing as DNA resonance or quantum genetics by Garaev. So I absorbed the main idea, and since then, it became the main interest of mine. So I work on that. Initially, it was a transition period for maybe 10 years. And last 10 years, I work primarily on that. It's like 90% of my work is on that. So DNA resonance. And initially, I was, as a chemist, I know that the core of DNA is hydrophobic. It repels water. It repels water. It's pretty oily, so it's called the base stack. And initially, I was thinking about that base stack is a wire which contains delocalized electrons, which is well known, and which is likely superconductive, which is partly known. If you just Google superconductance in DNA and conductance in DNA, it's called charge transfer, but you will find that it's pretty well studied for the last 20 years. So I was looking only at that. And I discovered there that the delocalized electrons that depend on the sequence of DNA, and also delocalized proton depend on the sequence of DNA. So electromagnetic properties of these oscillators would be dependent on the sequence. But then when we started doing the modeling, we realized that electrons are insulated, but protons are bound to the water. So the DNA stack exchanges protons with the water. So these wires go outside in the water. So I was faced with the necessity to study the water structure. I looked at all possible information. I was attracted by ideas of Gerald Pollack that the water is has special structure around charged surfaces and DNA is highly negatively charged. And I looked at Pollack's molecular structure, and I didn't like it because it is chemically impossible. It's almost possible, but there is a problem there. And then I noticed in Pollack's answering to the questions on YouTube, he mentioned that the structure of macromolecules would imprint on water by shifting the layers. I developed that idea, and Pollack doesn't remember it anymore. He just answered, and he doesn't remember. So anyway, I found polywater published by Lippincott in 69, which is chemically possible. It's an interesting structure, and I formulated the idea. I called it pin tumbler lock model, pin tumbler model, where DNA sequence shift shifts water layers around it by stepwise. And so DNA is vertical, and perpendicular water layers are shifted relative to each other because of the DNA sequence. So this way, DNA sequence can imprint on water. And this explains the ideas of Luc Montagnier that DNA can imprint its sequence on water and then and reverse. Basically, if you use that water for PCR, then the DNA is restored and sequence is restored in that water. So I'm not sure his experiments are not well described, but the idea was very profound that the DNA structures the water around it. I predict that, I mean, it's logical that two identical sequences bound by the layers of water will form a more stable structure. And more stable structure in the chromosome would probably help folding chromosome like magnetic ties, magnetic fasteners, like magnetic fasteners. So, and I was looking for the function of repetitive sequences in the genome since 99, because the resonance should be primarily be done by repetitive sequences. And we have lots of repetitive sequences in genome. It's 55% of the genome is repetitive. So,
But
and the main, go ahead.
Max, can you roll back a minute? What do you mean by resonance here?
Yeah. Resonance in classical sense is what we use in radios and smartphones, where the phone has to tune into the wavelength and then resonate. So the sender, the tower, sends a certain wavelength, and the cell phone resonates with it, captures the signal, and amplifies it using a battery. So that's if you tune in into the same wave, you resonate, you amplify the signal.
Now, in telepathy, we're not talking about a known form of signal, an electromagnetic signal, or any known form of signal. But what you're saying here is the signal that we cannot yet detect operates according to the same principles as signals we can detect. Would that be correct or no?
I claim pretty confidently that the body operates on resonance, and this resonance happens on acoustic waves, electromagnetic waves, and etheric waves, which are also called subtle or scalar waves. So this kind of non-physical ways they cannot be detected by our devices, but they can be detected by biological objects. So yes, I think a huge layer of coordination in the body is happening on the resonance level. And this idea is well developed by other researchers of biofield, including Sheldrake, who postulated the morphic field. And also, we, the researchers of the biofield, we agree that it's not only the biology which is based on resonance, but also consciousness, individual consciousness. We resonate with a certain field which is outside of the body.
Now, you postulate essentially two levels of mind, one which you call the physical mind, which is the mind we're working in right now, which is in time and space, and then an intuitive mind, which is timeless. Now, you say in telepathy, classic brainwave oscillations, which are physical mind thinking, are converted to DNA oscillations. Because DNA is part of the unified oscillating network of the body. Now, here's my question. If we are to do telepathy, we have to have some way of effecting the transfer of classical brainwave oscillations into DNA oscillations. How it, and now that is a it strikes me as a perhaps a form of meditation or something. And you say some things in your video very specific about this. How do we do this? Because it is doable. It's definitely doable. I've seen people doing it. I've seen people sitting face to face, or back to back, engaged in complex telepathy easily. I've seen it. It's real.
Right. Let's first formulate, before I get carried away, let's formulate the two ideas. First is that DNA oscillations of the neurons are linked with the brainwave oscillations of the neurons. So brainwave oscillations go in axons as a action potential movement, and DNA oscillations happen in the nuclei of the neurons, and there is a vibrational coupling of the two. That's the first idea. I can develop it further. So DNA, I believe, is involved in the brain and the brain function normally. It's not something unusual. It's not that you only during telepathy do that. And the second idea is that the brain anatomy is also participating. Okay, so these are two ideas. And then Diane Hennessy, in her book ESP Perception, ESP Enigma, Extrasensory Perception Enigma, she makes a very confident, strong argument that the brain anatomy is key to telepathy, that we have some sort of brain structures that inhibit telepathy. And I also think that inhibition of telepathy happens through brain structure and culture, because tribes which are outside of the culture, non-speaking autists which are outside of the culture, and children which haven't been brainwashed yet, they're all telepathic. Many of them are telepathic. There is beautiful examples where people, hunters of the tribe, go away and communicate telepathically with the base, and if they're needed back, they've been telepathically called back, and they basically know the news of each other. And we know telepathy in dogs and cats and children, but there is something in our culture which blocks it. We probably are telepathic in a dream, and Carl Jung, already studied telepathy in dreams, and it was proven over 100 years ago that there is telepathy in dreams. But when we go in awakened state, the telepathy is blocked. So the telepathy is unblocked in normal neurotypical people sometimes, and it happens through meditation, and autistic non-speaking telepaths, they can teach their teachers telepathy, and the teachers now receive the questions telepathically, answer them, or sometimes they conduct the lesson in silence. So I think that Dan Hennessy makes a good argument that two hemispheres have to be oscillating in coordination, sure, should be oscillating in coordination. And also, I think there is basically the culture fragments the brain. The culture fragments the brain through trauma, and a requirement. First, there is a requirement for precision. There is a requirement for the ego. So the person has to be responsible and being individualistic, basically egotistic, and focus on their own interest. And then there is a time pressure, and there is a precision pressure, time pressure, fear, and disconnect from others. And the meditation, what it does, it dissolves all of that. It dissolves the ego. You become one with others, especially with your telepathic pair. That is essential. You become intuitive, unfocused, and you become timeless. And I think that happens on the level of the brain, on the level of neurons, and it happens on the level of DNA. The DNA vibration, I think, also changes. And I published a paper a while ago, like 10 years ago, suggesting that there are two states of molecules in the brains. In one state, they are fixed, like wave-particle duality, they are become particle. In another state, they become delocalized. Electrons and protons become delocalized and become a wave. So our culture presses us into DNA becoming particles, chemicals, solid, while meditation moves the DNA into intuitive state, delocalized state, where it becomes a wave. One more important addition. I noticed also that the information flow is pushing us into that state of oversaturation of senses. And I think the key to telepathy is also to reverse the flow from outside in to inside out.
So you would say then that the technological world we live in, which is drawing us more and more into, we're drawn into our cell phones, we're drawn into our computers, we're drawn into this, that, the other thing, and so much information is flowing in that we're kind of overwhelmed. Would that be a right way to put it?
Saturated, overwhelmed.
So we have to reduce that information flow in order to.
Be very specific about what we take in. And possibly disconnect from other people who are dragging us down in vibration. You have to be high. You have to be high and pure. High and pure. Like telepathy is given to kind and pure people. If you are fragmented and angry, then it's blocked.
That word kind really resonates with me. Because I've been with some of the spellers, and the feeling of kindness between them and the love between them and their teachers is very palpable. When you get in the room, you're in a different world. You're in a world that is, it's so beautiful that you think to yourself, why isn't this my world? And it can be, because you can take that kindness with you, and yet we don't. We're always so angry about everything, and the news is there to make us even angrier. And it seems like the whole world is devoted to silencing our ability to really communicate with each other, because the little bit of telepathy I've had has told me this is the real way that we're supposed to communicate, not with this, but with this. And
Maybe you should show the heart.
in the heart. Have you ever had telepathic experiences?
I was in math school, mathematical class in Moscow, and we were trained under very strong pressure. Like, if we are good, we will get into university, we will get a waiver from the army. So we needed to perform well in math. So I was trained to perform really well in math and physics problems. And I was one of the best, like one of the two best students in the class, and maybe one out of four people, among like 100 people in the school. And the way I did it was to meditate, close the eyes, meditate, get the answer, and then reconstruct from the answer how it was produced. So it's a form of telepathic connection, but I think it's connection to the higher self, rather than to anybody else. But and also I write poetry. I wrote a lot of poetry in the past and some music. So that is when also telepathic connection is practiced. I do the line, and then something from outside of me does that. So it's a sort of telepathy, but it is it's I don't know where from is it coming. Mostly from highest, most likely from higher self. I had one experience when I was doing my DNA writing. I wrote like a chap or a wrote a paper on that, and at some point I went to very far out idea, and at that time in my mind a voice sounded which was beautiful, feminine, and beautiful female, and it said, "Ha ha 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 ha! What are you doing? Ha 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 ha!" It was very clear. I was completely awake, but that was my only like very clear telepathic message. I don't know who was doing that, but I clearly was breaking the matrix at that moment.
Well, you know, I've had lots of mo very few moments when I have been able to initiate telepathy, but lots of moments when it has been, well, there's a word or phrase rather, baseball cap, which if I hear that just in my mind 3 times, baseball cap, baseball cap, baseball cap, it's like a signal And I quiet my mind, and immediately verbal telepathy starts with whoever is wishing to communicate with me. So, and that's been going on for a long time. So I do have that. But when they stop, so do I. I can't communicate with anyone else telepathically. So it's very frustrating. Now, when we're going to get back, we're going to get a little bit deeper into the idea of the collective DNA vibration of the body. And maybe how this enables the type of message targeting I was just talking about. We'll be right back with Max. This is a brief excerpt from an interview with two contactees who had an 11-day close encounter experience and are now willing to speak about it really for the first time. To hear their whole interview and many others, subscribe to unknowncountry.com. Here's the excerpt. Did you see the man's face?
Yes, actually, that one is very clear to me. It was kind of longish, and he didn't look completely human, but because he had very, very thin hair, almost non-existent, but he was young. I believe that it was kind of blonde. And he was very tall, like at least 6 feet. And he was so thin that he looked kind of strange.
And what happened then?
Well, he wanted me to go with him, or to stay with him, and he wanted me to stay with him on the ship. And I'd been married for 6 months, and I wasn't about to go running off to stay on the ship.
Now, surely you want more. You must want more. And there is more. Not only this contactee interview, but many others, many of them just as extraordinary, on unknowncountry.com, plus everything else that we offer, my audiobooks, the meditations, the talks on the key, William Henry's wonderful revelation show in its entire run, Anne Streber's brilliant and magical mysterious powers, and so much more. Hours and hours of listening pleasure. Learn from the meditations on the site. Really learn, because they're real and they're valuable. Subscribe to unknowncountry.com right now. Go to unknowncountry.com. Click on the subscribe tab. We are running very low on new subscribers now, and that should not be. It should not be happening. So you do it. You go there and you do it today.
UAPs, aliens, magic, breakthrough tech, psi phenomenon, esoterica, psychedelics, cryptids, time slips, poltergeists, and sundry. The days of dismissing these complicated human experiences as mere delusions, hoaxes, fantasies, and dreams needs to be over. Instead, we need to explore and understand these events for what they might be telling us about the nature of the universe and of ourselves. The ancients taught that we're each an energetic expression of the living cosmos, but we still don't know what that means. What is real? What is fantasy? How do each of our lives and experiences fit within the broader tapestry of being? Are we alone? Where does narrative fit? And what happens when we die? Join me on Neon Galactic, a podcast produced by yours truly, to push the boundaries of old paradigms in science, philosophy, ontology, anthropology, and more. This show is an experiment in radical hermeneutics, breaking down old walls to embrace the strange and existentially transformative, to get beyond old prejudices and realize at last that we are indeed more complicated and connected as a species than many of us ever dreamed. Find me on Patreon, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts to take a journey to unknown places on a quest to the limits of this reality and beyond. At such a fraught and dangerous moment in human history, the time has definitely come to reassess the wisdom of our ancestors and embrace the natural truths we've long rejected. Join our intrepid crew in throwing open the gates of perception to welcome wonder back into the workaday world.
I'm back.
We're talking to Max Rempel. His website is XG1.org. XG1.org. He's holding it up again, XG1.org. And what you will find there is number one, an ability to participate. You can register, you can get involved, you can donate, you will find there, and we're going to be talking about this in a little bit more later, of tools for hybrids, where he has a whole list of different things that you places you can go and recommendations for you. So, this whole thing is about not being passive anymore. We're so passive. We sit and we wait and we wait for the next thing, and then we die waiting. Let's not wait, folks. I don't want to wait anymore. I'm done with waiting. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do
Let's
it.
get Max going with telepathy. He's ready. He knows what he's doing, and he's only had a few moments of it, like me. And I can't turn it on myself, but it can be turned on within me, as I told you. Now let's talk a little bit more about what we were the collective DNA vibration of the body. What do you mean by that?
Right. So, you mean of the body of the humanity? There was a collective of the
Well,
body and collective of the humanity. Let's start with the
you
body.
say, okay, you say the collective DNA vibration of the body allows specific message targeting. That you mentioned in,
Oh, right. Yeah.
right, yeah, okay, you got it.
So I think one of the key questions in telepathy is, why telepaths are specific? There is billions of us, and only one telepath sends the information to another telepath very specifically. That specificity we can find in also in remote viewing. Somehow on a higher level, there is a connection very specific, and in telepathy you don't hear the some of us do hear, like if you turn on, like remove all the barriers, we hear lots of noise outside. But telepaths, they speak one to one or one to a few with very specific targeting, specificity of targeting. And my hypothesis is that it is the sequence of DNA which makes a perfect identifier, barcode, the vibration of the whole body. And I got some confirmations on that from others.
Now, the receiver receives the message only from the sender if this targeting works. In my case, what has happened occasionally when I'm not being interrogated te telepathically, when I'm just usually when I'm quite tired and suddenly I begin to hear the voices of the people around me. Like, I'll give you an exact description of this. It happened in England a couple of years ago. I was very tired. I'd just come in from the United States and traveled to a little town to put my luggage down in the bed on the floor and lay down back on the bed. And suddenly I could hear people talking. And I thought, oh my God, I can't live here. This is all this talking. I can hear everybody in the. Then I realized they weren't, it was in my head. And I was hearing people thinking about their, cooking or the telly and whatnot, just casual in internal dialoguing. And I thought, boy, this worries me a little bit because if it doesn't go away, what am I going to do? And then it faded eventually. What's happening there when suddenly a person can be a telepathic receiver? I don't think I could have transmitted anything to him. I didn't try, actually. But what is happening in the body?
All right. I had experiences like that, especially when I have very little sleep. The sleep deprivation breaks something in the mind, and there is a flood of voices. And some of these are people I know, and some of these are people I don't even know. And this happens lately. Maybe I have more sleep lately. Less of that happens lately. In the recent episode, I think season two, episode three by Kai Dickens, Telepathy Tapes, they mention an autistic. No, it was the previous episode two, autistic, non-speaking autist who can type. And she's overwhelmed with number of voices, mostly from the dead people, from the discarnate spirits. And she handles them all right, but when somebody connected, like a normal person, a psychic connected to her, she experienced that and she was overwhelmed. So it's very possible that non-speaking autists, telepathic non-speaking autists, they have this blockage open, and that's very important for understanding the mechanism how it works. To me, it is a function of DNA and the function of the brain, which brings us to this specific point in time, to this specific body, and focuses the ego on that specific point in time. We are trained very specifically to be here now, watch your step, watch what you are saying, be here now, like we are being trained, and that is a mechanism, I think, in the brain. I don't know yet what it is, but specifically it makes us be here in time and drive forward in time. I think non-speaking telepaths, because everything, because they're autistic, because they don't have to take care of the body, they don't have that cultural pressure to be driving in time. So they can be timeless, they can have premonitions, they can see in the future, and they can connect with others because that separation. So the mechanism, there is one soul that splits in all humans. We are the same soul, split like in a prism into billions of rays. And that splitting happens multiple times. It's like branches, branches, branches. And I think what happens is telepathy travels up the branch of the soul until there is a junction, and then it goes down to another soul. So it is a connection. The body, physical mind, to the soul, to the oversoul, back to the soul, back to the another body. And this is pretty much what I read in also in other people who discuss the mechanism of telepathy. The mechanism is transdimensional. You have to exit the physical world into the astral world. There is a connection, and then you return back to the physical.
There was a Japanese researcher called Mashiru Emoto who wrote a book called The Hidden Messages in Water. And he collaborated with Dean Radin, who, incidentally, folks, will be on Dreamland again
Nice.
soon.
Radin, a good supporter of mine.
Dean is,
Yeah.
Dean's a very special and important man. I think he's one of the most important people. He's been doing this for so long and he never stops and he's always at the cutting edge and he's always very, very precise in his science. Amazing man. Okay, but
There is
anyway.
a great book, Real Magic. I loved it. It's a
Yeah,
pretty
I've
recent.
interviewed Dean on Real Magic and I'm going to interview him on his new book too, just in a couple of weeks. So anyway, I want to get back to water because the thing is that water is such a Emoto's work says that we can influence water basically with meditation. And I'm thinking that maybe there's some kind of a connection between the water in the in the in the in the cells and some kind of meditation that would enable us to somehow free ourselves. I'm just kind of going down a dark path here. I don't know
No,
quite where I'm.
it's part of my chapter, so it's right on the point.
Okay, well, it's time for you to take over.
All right, so basically, when I discovered that poly water surrounding DNA is imprinting this the sequence of DNA and water, by shifting the layers. That polywater has a very interesting structure. It's a honeycomb, but it has gaps. It has gaps because otherwise, if you build a perfect honeycomb of polywater, it will be
When you're
charged.
you saying Max, are you saying holy water, HOLY?
Honeycomb. Bee honeycomb. Honeycomb.
Oh, honeycomb. Okay, I
Yeah,
understand.
maybe
All
I
right.
pronounce it bad. Honeycomb. Honey,
Right.
honey, honeycomb. Anyway, so the perfect honeycomb polywater structure would be super highly charged with negative charge. It would shot firebolts. So it's not possible. But if you break some of the connections, it becomes an island of perfect flat crystal, a liquid crystal, but surrounded by individual molecules of water. So that is a very a stable structure, and it is, I think it forms around charged surfaces like DNA. So what is interesting about this structure, it's very dynamic. It is imperfect in nature. If it grows on one side, it gains a charge, so it has to dissolve on the other side. And especially weird or especially uncomfortable is the solution of DNA in that polywater, because DNA has one level of symmetry. It's a crystal with a certain number of steps. It's 20 stump, 21 letter steps per two turns of DNA, or 10 and a half per one turn. So it's one symmetry of the crystal, and the honeycomb is hexagonal symmetry. So this 10 and a half fits in hexagonal very poorly. So it has to constantly jitter back and forth, or maybe even twist fast, so it would and it is attracted by through hydrophilic bonds, but also it's repelled by, because it cannot perfectly fit. So for that reason, I wrote a couple of chapters. One of them is accepted for publication, meaning that imperfection is the basis of life, and essentially it plays a role in consciousness. So what you get is a constant dynamic structure which constantly grows and dissolves, grows and dissolves. There is a fight, competition between order and chaos, order and chaos. And that, I think, is where the spirit energy, astral energy, etherical energy is entering in our world, and it can imprint on it very easily, because very minute forces can organize, especially the morphic field, can organize how the water is structured. So water has this unique property of being a mixture between order and chaos, like the whole life. And that's where the spirit has the right to orchestrate, organize the structure formation. And that relates to Stuart Hameroff and Roger Penrose's idea of orchestrated objective reduction. It's the same idea, that there is orchestration, there is coordination, and that relates to Rupert Sheldrake's morphic field. Again, a field which produces shape in this world. So to get the shape, you need like very unstable, constantly reorganizing system, which is aiming at structure but cannot achieve it. Did I address it?
I
At
think
least the
that's
main idea. There
great.
is
No,
constant competition between order and chaos, and that's imperfection.
I think that what I want to do now, we've reached another break, our last break, and we'll be right back with Max Rempel. Who are they? Why are they here? What do they want with us? Why is it all so secret? All of these questions are explored in my new book, Them, in an entirely new way. What do Close Encounter reports tell us about what the visitors want with us? What is the military's experience? And can our memories be trusted? Can anything be trusted? Them answers all of these questions in a totally new way. It's available in hardcover, softcover, as a Kindle, and as an audiobook, read by me. Get Them today, and you can get it from the unknowncountry.com store, signed by me.
unknowncountry.com. It's huge. It's much more than just a Whitley Strieber book site. It contains thousands of hours of interviews, meditations, podcasts of all kinds. My original hypnosis tapes are there. You can actually hear the moment that I discovered that I, at least, was not alone in this universe, in the office of Dr. Donald Klein so many years ago. Whitley Strieber audiobooks, Communion, Transformation, The Secret School, Breakthrough, Majestic, and so much more, powerful meditations. But more even than all that, it is a community of people who are either looking to gain contact or actually in contact now. There is no community like it in the world. It is absolutely unique. Contact really is happening here. That's what these shows are all about. That's what my life and this website are about. It's real, and it can be of enormous benefit to us individually and to mankind, as long as we take our part and do it our way. This is what being a member of Unknown Country is about. So go to unknowncountry.com and subscribe today. Join us and join, very frankly, the future.
We're talking to Max Rempell. His website, xg1.org, that's xg1.org, where you can find out all kinds of things about what he's doing and engage with him in this journey that we are all on to make a new human species.
Yes.
Because we've used this one up, it's time for something new. We need a new car, folks. All right. Now, one of the things that you talk about is I find absolutely fascinating is the idea that to understand telepathy, we need to look not so much at rationality, but at the deeper level, at consciousness itself, and starting with the idea of free will. Can you give us an idea of what you mean by free will and why it's so important a part of this journey?
Yeah. So to define consciousness, we need to understand the free will. And we can play with the idea of free will. What is necessary to actually express that free will? And I define it that the either computer or a human or an animal or any device which has free will has to be under time pressure to actually move forward and should have limited information to make choices. Because if it had all perfect information on unlimited time, then it would always make a perfect choice. But limitation in time and information makes us make choices intuitively or completely at random. And the example of that is bump and go toy cars. They would move, see the obstacle, bump a little bit, and then turn and make a choice where to go. And that was pretty much a very simplistic model of free will. And this bump and go car didn't have even a computational nothing. It wasn't electronically computation. It was just purely mechanical simulation of free will. But essentially, what happens is, I think, is we are in a collective dream. In a collective dream, it's a illusionary reality, which is collective illusionary reality, and the soul lands in the body, and this body is driven forward in time with limited information. And the main lesson we get here is we constantly are forced to exercise free will and make choices. So when we make these choices are very frequently are important for survival. Like if you drive a car, it's so easy to make a wrong choice and kill yourself. Or there is tons of choices we are forced to make every day. There is pretty much impossible to live without making choices. And unless somebody makes choices for you. But I think this reality is geared up to give us experience of actually being responsible for ourselves. And second is to maximize the individual and collective drama. So what happens in telepathy, I think, is liberation of that time pressure, liberation of necessity to be responsible for ourselves. So I think the telepath goes between the timeless state where the information is basically they merge. It's like in a Star Trek mind meld. The two minds of two people merge temporarily, and then there is a step back when they separate again. There is again ego is turned on. You become again yourself. And that's where you translate what you remember from the merged state into the fixed state here in time with a specific answer. So that's pretty much consideration. I think there is like good psychics, they partly asleep. And I learned that art to be partly asleep and partly awake at the same time. When you do like a channeling, or telepathy, or psychic work, or scientific breakthrough work, like solve very difficult problems. You have to be at the two places at the same time, here physically and up there, and you become a receiver or a channel. And and you do both things. I mean, just being there is not enough. You have to ask the question very, very proactively. You express your will and then open yourself up to receive the answer. So that's basically a short version of what I mean under free will.
This body asleep, mind awake state is taught in the Monroe Institute, also mm-hmm. Bob Monroe's mm-hmm. Institute. Now, there is a possibility that you point out in your video of DNA making a single coherent integrated system between a higher mind and the physical mind. And that, I think, is critically important because the physical mind, the mind you and I are in right now, is being dragged, as you put it, through time. And we always have to, we couldn't make choices if we weren't like that. Now, the little people, the little gray people, I have been with many times in my life, do not have this. They are not in time drag. They're not in the time stream. And they don't have the kinds of choices we do. And it's a very odd experience to really be with them because you're kind of at, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next, but they do. And it's really weird, but at the same time, they're not without agency. They have a lot of agency in the world. Now, you say the time drag is created by asymmetrical biological processes such as cellular respiration, that is to say, the burning of food inside cells. This slow fire creates an asymmetry in time. And thus the experience of time drag. In other words, because of the asymmetry, we're drawn in time. Is there any way to step outside of that, Max, that you know of?
Meditation experiences, Monroe ideas with Monroe method with binaural beats and binaural flashes in the eyes. I actually have this mind machine. It's pretty inexpensive mind machine. I use Prasayan mind machine. It's very nice. And when I used it, by the way, first time I used it, I was able to do the exercise of predicting the future. It's just an exercise, computational. First time I did like good hit with that. And psychedelics basically take you out of this time flow, time stream. I think what happens is the culture fragments our crystals in water and crystals in DNA solution. So we get incoherent, discoherent, non-coherent structures in the cells and in the brain. It's like when we did basically part of healing the person, and by the way, the part of healing the person is to unblock blockages in the brain. And what this Prasyan mind machine did really nicely to me when I realized what it is doing, and same as Reiki healing is healing with the hands, is it unfreezes traumas. So you put on this binaural beats headphones, you put the flashes, special glasses which flash gentle flashes, asymmetric flashes in the eyes. And it scans your brain, and when it comes to the memory which was frozen and blocked, you feel the pain, physical pain in certain brain areas or brain memories areas, memory areas. And then you decide that you can let this memory to unfreeze and actually release it. So I think what happens is trauma, especially educational upbringing, like school traumas, like childhood traumas, they all make us fragmented, and the brain is not capable of simple coherent vibration. It's multiple vibration conflicting to each other, multiple vibrations. And then restoring coherence, basically harmony in the brain and in the body, I think is the key to telepathy. If you're kind, if you forgive everybody, if you don't remember the past traumas, if you kind of get over past traumas and you're just fine with everything, then you become some sort of a relaxed hippie, and you actually can dream and telepathically connect. That's the kindness is one of the tools for actually becoming harmonious.
Okay, let's talk now about telepathic oscillation. This process of oscillating between certainty and uncertainty. The difficulty with the Western, with people in our culture, is that we have a lot of trouble with uncertainty. This is a culture of certainties. But to relax into the world of uncertainty that you have been just talking about, then send a message. You say the person, how would you go about sending someone a telepathic message? How should we go
okay.
about it?
I had one good experience. We practiced with my close associates telepathy, and my approach, I mean, my experience was limited, but my approach was meditate and actually enter into their body. Like in my dream, I enter, in, like in my meditation, I enter in their body, focus in their heart, and my heart becomes their heart. Basically, I am inside the body. And that actually worked.
It worked.
Yep.
Well, I think we all need it to work on a regular basis, because we need to become telepathic folks, and we're coming to the end of the first hour. Max's website is xg1.org. You can engage with him and participate there. You can read his publications. There's a wonderful section called Tools for Hybrids that you must look at, because a lot of you are certainly in this particular space. Thank you, all of you who are not in the subscriber area, for being with us on Dreamland. And as always, I hope to welcome you as participants in our community soon.
Thank you for listening. Dreamland is brought to you by Unknown Country and its family of subscribers. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our site coordinator is Amy Safrankova. The founder of UnknownCountry.com is Anne Streber. I'm Whitley Streber, your host for Dreamland.